And we're in 1 Thessalonians tonight. We're entering chapter 4. And I believe that there's no better introduction to this message this evening, this study, than to just go ahead and dive right in and read verse 1 of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. And it says there, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus." I'll tell you, that's important stuff. He's beseeching and exhorting. I was teasing with my sister a little bit as she was coming in the office there, going to give me something. I said, I'm called and propelled. And that's what Brother Paul is encouraging these dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. But he's beseeching you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to launch into, really, I believe, the first 12 verses of this fourth chapter. And this is a much needed chapter of encouragement in our lives and encouragement to our souls, because it is regarding our walk. And I appreciate Brother Paul so much, because he focuses through the Holy Spirit and in the enabling of the Holy Spirit on the walk. And the walk is often used in his epistles, and it's always referring to Christian living, the abundant life of Christ in me, the hope of glory, when we read about the wondrous walk that Paul, again, is encouraging us to follow him as he followed Christ. And in this portion, I believe that we really will see that this ties in so well to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where it encourages us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And we've studied that out many times, and that word vocation there is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the same word and intent as you will find in the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This pattern is repeated throughout the Word of God, the pattern into the midst of the throne, the pattern to God's very best, the pattern that will be woven deeply into that bridal company, praise be to God. And this is the high calling of God walk that he is introducing these brothers and sisters to. And so simply we're going to read tonight is the walk is a surrendering of grace. It's surrendering to grace. It's the claim that our walk, brothers and sisters, is completely dependent upon God. Your walk in him, you will always find, is completely dependent upon God. And I'm grateful to God for that. It doesn't scare me anymore. I'm thankful that I can not just lean upon him, but I fall right into those wondrous arms every day. He's never let me go, but it's just surrendering to him and saying, God, take me on. I really can't do this. I'm finding out anymore sometimes I can't even get out of bed and all the things I used to think I could do. But see, that's what God does. And he does weaken us in the way. I was visiting with a sister over dinner, and I was thinking how man is so opposite of God. How man is trying to prolong life so much in a lot of ways. God has given us those 70 years, but yet you look around anymore, most of the countries now, they live to 80-something. And then what are they trying to do within that life? Well, I need to look better. I need to be stronger. Now, the Word of God says bodily exercise profits a bit. And I'm not saying to just let it go and get the pretzel bag and potato chips and let's just have fun and try to clog it up. But where I'm going with this is that you can see that it's about vanity. It's about self. It's about all these things. Whereas God has naturally made us a creation that does, as it gets older, eventually it gets weakened in the way. God's going to have his purpose in our life. And praise be to God, he's done it in nature. He does it in our bodies. He does it in our life. He does it in circumstance and situation, because the whole purpose that he wants is us to be more dependent upon his son. Completely dependent upon his son. I'm thinking how many times Brother Hill used the word confidence. Put your confidence in Christ. How simple is that? That, Lord, I am dependent completely upon your ability and not mine. And then as the word goes on, it tells us that we walk solely by faith. Because faith is how we please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so sweet here we see in this verse is we abound And that's exceedingly abundantly abounding. If you go back in and look at that abound more and more, that's really what it's getting at. The Greek has a little bit better words coming at us, but that we would abound by pleasing God. Now, Paul here is pleading, and he's vigorously pleading and encouraging us by one thing, and that's not by works, that's not by self, that's not by positive thinking. What is he saying here? I'm encouraging you by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always going to come back to Jesus Christ. It's always in the power of that name. Are you so thankful for that name this evening? Oh, I hope you are. I hope that it would be on our tongue the very first moment that we get up in the morning when I see the wall or see the ceiling or whatever it may be. Maybe my pillow. I've been sleeping on my face all night. I don't know. But it's Jesus. Jesus. And it revives you like nothing else. It starts the day like nothing else. It keeps you like nothing else. There's no other power but in that name. Praise God. And it is the power that we are so motivated by and propelled by through our lives. And you think about this encouraging of our Lord Jesus Christ for us to walk in faith. And there is a twofold benefit that this first verse goes into. First of all, it pleases God. We know that. Second of all, it causes us to abound more and more because it truly is speaking truth in love. And that is faith, brothers and sisters. There's no other way that's going to happen in our lives but by the grace of God, believing Him, that is evidenced in our life. And that causes us to grow up into Him in all things. I think of the ever-expanding wineskin, brothers and sisters. I want to continue by His grace to expand more and more. I need to because He's bringing on things that I need more of Him in order to take care of all of these things that are going on in my life. And you know that as well too. You are going to face these adversities and these different things that you need the ever-expanding and overflowing Holy Ghost in your life. And this is the life that we talk about many times that is increasing at an increasing rate. Now think about that. That's just by the grace of God. I'll give it to you another way in Scripture. From glory to glory. Praise God. That's increasing. From glory to glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. How many glories in the glorious, wonderful work of God that is working in our lives, brothers and sisters. And that is the walk that He wants for us. Now let's go ahead and read verses 2 and 3. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So we need to pay attention to this. We need to pay attention to the Word of God. But especially when He says, this is the will of God. I think that's something that really is catching me. This is God's will. It's in black and white. It's obviously printed in His wondrous blood. This is what He has for us. And here's what Paul is saying here. I'm going to go over these commandments again with you. And so simply, brothers and sisters, we know that we have been instructed to operate, to function in His love. And that, when that happens in our life, it's a life that is truly walking in spirit and not in flesh. And God has called us into that. For it is the will of God. And I appreciate what he puts out here. The will of God is sanctification. Did you know that? That's the will of God in your life. The word sanctification is set apart to God. That is the whole process of what is going on here, is how much are you going to allow God to set you apart to Him? Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we're going to see here in just a moment that this truly is the calling of His bride. This is really the calling of sanctification where He says, are you really going to go this way? Does my heart call out to Him and say, I am yours, Lord Jesus? And what wondrous reality that when we can live a life that is set apart to God. A life that is set apart to God. A life that is not taken out of this world. See, a lot of Christians, what they try to do is just surround themselves in a sense and put themselves in a stale environment. And I've seen this. I've experienced this in many ways. I have to watch a little bit because I don't want to be critical in a certain way. But at the same time, I do want to preach the full counsel of God. But brothers and sisters, He did not take us out of this world. He put us in this world. But by the grace of God, He said that I can set you apart while you're in it. Did you know that? By His grace, He can set you apart while we are in this world. that He can place us in this world and we can live a life pleasing to Him, being not of this world. That we can have a life with our hearts that are set on affections above and not on the things of this earth. Amen? I hope we know this. I hope that we're living this, brothers and sisters. This is the call that we have. That God, in His so miraculous way, I love what Jesus did. You talk about, in a sense, setting up the underdog, but there's no such thing in Christ Jesus. But He put us on a place where the prince and the power of this air is none other than the devil himself, to show His greatness in us. Now praise the Lord. Only God would do that. See, He knew the power that was in His Son. He didn't have anything to prove to Himself or His Son. He's proving it to us. And by the grace of God, may we believe that when He said, "It is finished," it's finished. Devil, you're finished. I'm so grateful that I know that I've got this foreordained path of good works, that as the Word of God says, that I ought to walk, that I should walk. We are a creation of free will. Did you know that? That's the difference between us and animals, is we have free will, brothers and sisters. You have the right to make a choice every single moment of your life. And God is calling and wooing and crying out, "Choose My Son. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." He has given us every provision. By the grace of God, our wonderful Savior left in the greatest of love to take the seat upon the right hand of God. And He gave us the Holy Spirit, the very power of His might, that we wouldn't just get by, but that we could be encouraged with exceeding abundantly above all that ye think or ask. Isn't that awesome? That's the God that loves us, brothers and sisters. That's the reality that I hope that He is bringing us to as we live in this wonderful time of the coming of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, this is a heart that we're talking about here that is tendered and convicted and willing. Think of those three words. Are you tender? Are you convicted? And are you willing to receive the Word of God in your life? Only grace can do that. But it still has to be a heart open to receive the grace of God to say, "Lord, allow me to be willing." We're reading of Paul pretty much every single time that we get together, because the Word of God tells us to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And in those wonderful epistles, it opens up all of those hidden chambers and lifts all of those curtains in the Old Testament. And it brings to life all of those types and shadows of what the Lord was trying to bring out to them, in a sense. But it wasn't for them at that time. They were to write it. They wanted to look into it. But God had it for you. God had it for me. And by His grace, we look into this wonderful Word through this brother that was so enlightened of the Holy Spirit. And we receive the direction from the Word of God into the very midst of the throne room. And that's what we're rejoicing in this evening. That, by the grace of God, is the calling upon your life. May that just soak in. May that just be something that truly we glory in. I rejoice in seeing so many couples in this meeting. Do you realize how blessed that you're blessed to have somebody of like precious faith to be in your home? My goodness. And if you don't have somebody in your home of like precious faith, well then praise be to God, you got a church where you can come and be around brothers and sisters of like precious faith. But let's learn to count our blessings. How's that? What do you think about that? Let's learn to count our blessings. God, make me thankful. Make me grateful for this wondrous Word of God. So let's go on. Now we're going to get to the tough part. I think He's encouraged us, and now we're going to, as they say, the rubber's going to meet the road right now. So here we go. That ye should abstain from fornication. And let's go on to verses 3 and 4. That every one of you, see, this wasn't just limited to some, but everyone. When the Lord said, "I would that all men be saved and come to a full, complete, exact knowledge of the truth," there wasn't any respecter of person. He's saying this to all, to each, how personal this is, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now we're awful quiet. I'm so thankful that he's faithful. Amen? Amen. So it's the same old sin. It's the same old man following their lusts and feelings instead of being led by the new man. Brother Copley says it so perfectly. He says the new birth does not change the tendencies, but holds them in check as we yield to the Spirit. And in that, I'll say it this way. You and I are capable of any sin there has ever been. And I hope you know that. I hope I know that. I hope I can come to grips with it. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. There go you and there go I. I'm telling you, we could go right there in just a moment, but for the keeping power of God. But as we yield to Him, as we yield to God by faith, the Word tells us that we mortify or treat as dead our members which are upon the earth. And what are those members? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. That all comes out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And all I can say to that is praise be to God for the creation that He has created, that Christ in me, as we yield to Him the hope of glory, can reckon that dead. And brothers and sisters, I hope that the same hope that the Lord has put upon my heart for all of us is that we truly see how free and how forgiven we are. Do you know that? A lot of people talk about much of the time about, I'm so glad I have grace to forgive me. I am understanding that very well. But grace forgave me long time ago. Long time ago. On that cross when He said, it is finished, it is finished. He died for all my sins right there. They're done, never to be remembered again. Now that grace to enrich my life in Him, to go forward, praise God, and to live a life that is pleasing to Him, oh my. See, sin now has no dominion over us. Do you believe that? I hope you do. It does not have dominion over you in Christ. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west. And what Paul is emphasizing here to us, brothers and sisters, is the walk of the overcomer, that sin would not reign in our life. That sin would not be the controlling factor in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we are going to fail. We are going to fail. You will fail. If God gives us any more time at all, I'll guarantee you, you will fail. But the question is will faith in Christ Jesus be given reign for the victory over the weakness in my flesh? That's the choice. By the grace of God, am I going to yield to that victory? Is the overcoming power going to be effectually applied to my life? And what is so precious here in this verse is it is so personal. The command is so personal that each one of us would know this, brothers and sisters. In Christianity today, people get to relying on their church. They get to relying upon the group or the subgroups. I don't even know what they call them. But they bring all of these people in together and then they break them down and they say, well, this is your group for accountability. God forbid we'd ever go that way. Your accountability is with the Lord and He is your accountability. Do you know that? You're forgiven. Give it to Him. Ask Him to have to give you a repentant heart. Ask Him to give you a heart that is softened, that is tendered. But let me tell you something. He's done it all. You are acceptable to God because of one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to your life. You cannot merit favor to God by anything that you have ever done or you will ever do in your flesh. Christ in me is what is acceptable. Christ in me is what is pleasing to God. Christ in me is how I'm going to grow up into all of the hope of glory that God sees for my life to someday, by grace, marry His Son. Oh, what Christ in me can do. Now, I think on the surface, we've got this. But I'm going to tell you something. There's more, and there's much more. I don't want you to ever think that we've tapped it all. God forbid we'd ever get to that place, then we'd really have to get on our knees. But I'm going to read this one more time to you, and let's read some of the bridal truths that the Word of God has in this same passage. Verses 3 and 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Now, we've studied about this word vessel, brothers and sisters. And that word vessel means adding to the usefulness of the husband. This word vessel is the wife. It's the bride. Go look it up and search it for yourself. Not trying to make it what it is or isn't. Just giving you like it is. Study, rightfully divide it. And this is where we're going with it, brothers and sisters, because this is what the Spirit. So what he's saying here is how to possess his vessel. This is how a wife should behave. This is how a wife should function. By the grace of God, is it the bride who has made herself ready? Uh-uh. It's the wife who has made herself ready. She's operating as his wife right now. She is operating in all of the provisions and privileges of his wife right now. Most importantly, she's receiving that love and giving that love, reciprocating it to him of that love right now. This is the love of God that He has for us. That every one of you should know how to possess His vessel in what? In sanctification. Set apart to God. How far are you willing to go? Well, the furthest that the Word of God tells us about is first love. Is He first love? Do you have that heart that has truly said to God and has claimed that, I will go? Lord, I'm willing to go without the camp. Let me tell you, that camp had a lot of familiar people in it. A lot of times that camp has a lot of familiar Christians in it. People that truly have meant a lot to you. People that truly do love you. But lovest thou me more than these? Am I really willing to go? And let me tell you something. Those camels aren't comfortable creatures. This flesh is going to have to be conquered. And there's only one thing that's going to do it, and that's the grace of God, brothers and sisters. We rejoiced in it. I hope you did. I sure did on Sunday. I know I need grace to sow grace, and I know I need grace to reap the grace. I stand before you as a man that is becoming very evident and at a very quickening rate that apart from God, I'm nothing. Apart from God, there is nothing pleasing that I could ever do. That in decreasing in my life, I can see the handiwork of the masterpiece being created. And I don't say that in compliment to my life one bit. I say that in all glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I know that of myself, I never knew that way. I know I could never go that way. As we were rejoicing, and I appreciated my dear mother, she said, "Oh, son, the fine line of grace." Oh, I see it, son. You talk about a narrow way. It's the fine line of grace that's going to take us there. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. So praise Him for His work in us. But here we have this vessel. How we should behave as wife. In sanctification, meaning our first love. And now we come to the word honor. And again, I tell you, look it up. The husband's use for the wife. Adding to the usefulness of her husband again. We have sufficient witness two times. He's calling and crying out to us. Interpreting this, that the wife should behave that he is the first love. And that we are at his will. She holds that fast which thou hast, that no man takes thy crown. She has a wedding ring. I don't have mine on tonight because I think I broke the tip of my finger. My wife's not going to let me go outside the house. I seem to get hurt more often now. Got to stay with me. But I can't give you that ring tonight. But I'm holding that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. She cherishes him. She loves him. She wants to abide with him. She doesn't want to leave his presence one bit. She doesn't want to be a prodigal anymore. By the grace of God, he has called her home. He saw her afar off there and has brought her back in the feast and given her the ring and kissed and the robe and all of those things. And by the grace of God, she's settling in. And she's saying, just as David did, oh, I'm entering the courts of the Lord. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our dwelling place, brothers and sisters. That's where God has called us. I sense that we're wrestling a bit at this time. I think that there's a restlessness that's sometimes going over the meeting in waves in different ways. Brothers and sisters, we need to settle down with Jesus Christ. We need to be occupied with Him. We cannot be caught up into ourself. We cannot be caught up into the things that are bothering us, that are hindering us. We can get there very quickly into a place that's called depression. We can get there to where we start to withdraw. Let me tell you something. He's saying, rise up. And He's saying, come boldly. And I'm telling you, that call is now. And the season is now. The time to respond to Him is now. The bride has made herself ready now. Be ready is the call. Get ready is something that might be too late. I pray God is quickening us. I pray He is. So we're grateful to God that we see this wonderful bridal calling in these Scriptures. And I believe that... Hallelujah. The Lord can keep us from ourselves. The Lord can deliver us from these things. You know what sin is. Sin is anything that's not faith. And we don't need to abide in that sin. I had a dear friend tell me the other day, he was talking about his daughter. And I will say this. I asked him how things were going. And he has an older daughter. He says, well, you know, things are going really well. But he says, I just am so brokenhearted and I want you to pray for me because my daughter has decided to go live with a man. And I know that hurt this brother's heart greatly. And he said, but the hard thing is I'm being shunned because her parents are actually throwing a party because they're excited about this event. And I'm sitting here with a grievous heart because I know it's apart from the will of God. Now, brothers and sisters, this world is trying to get us to accommodate and get real comfortable with sin. And it's coming at us at an increasing rate as well. And you can see it all about us. But as the Word of God tells us to stand, and I ask you, if we're not going to stand for the Word of God, where are we? And this isn't in legality. This isn't in trying to be a self-righteous anything. This is just asking the Word of God to work effectually in my life. And brothers and sisters, may we step out in faith. We're people of God. We're children of the King. By the grace of God, may we not have room for sin. By the grace of God, may we ask Him, Lord, allow me to yield my life, to be convicted of these things. Let's not grow accustomed to this sin. Let's not let it come and abide in our household. I don't want to miss God's very best. And I'm not counting this sin or whatever it is. I know the one thing. Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. You're a master of somebody. And something has you. Now what is it? All right. Sometimes the pews might get thinner. 6 and 7. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. All, I think how the Lord puts His Word together so wonderfully. There's no wiggle room in any matter. Come on, listen to this. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. See, God wants us to live a testimony, brothers and sisters. He wants you to be a light in this world. And it's not something that we do, it's something that we let. We let God do this in us. We've talked about it many times before. I just be. I know that might not be grammatically correct, but I do. I let Him be in my life. I don't try. It's a letting. It's a yielding. It's Christ in me doing that work. I am His workmanship. And He'll get it done, and He'll get it done perfectly. And brothers and sisters, as the Word of God tells us, we are not our own. And the Word of God is telling us here that we need to especially care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you realize, again, as I said earlier on, the aristocracy of the eternal ages to come? Children of God. And by His grace, mature sons. Now, I'm God's. This is a temple that God is in me. He's in me. He dwells in this temple. You're a temple of the Lord. He dwells in you. If I defile that temple, I'm not defiling you. I'm hurting God. I'm not going against you. I'm going against God and His will. Brothers and sisters, do we see this? And it says here that God's not going to be mocked because He's the avenger. He is going to set it right. And verse 8 says, He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. You see, it's not God that we are despising. It's God that we are... It is God that we're despising. It's God that we're hurting. It's God that we're offending. It's God that we're rejecting. And the excuse that we try to give, there is none. And the reason that there is no excuse is because He has given us the very power of His might. Now, this is serious, because God is for us. And the testimony that each one of us can give, and I'm telling you, the testimony I can give of His power in me, that He saved me from myself so many times. That's the power of His might. That, Lord, You still can come in despite my wickedness. If there's a tenderness, You'll make a way. You'll come in and make a way. You are forever faithful. The surrendered heart leading of the Comforter, His guiding will always result. Faith in love. Faith in love. Brothers and sisters, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to serve God acceptably. Now let's go on to verse 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all brethren. What a wonderful statement, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And this is the second part of the calling of the walk of God. And a godly walk is love. And what he's saying here is, you know, you dear brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, you've yielded to the love of God. It's full and it's overflowing in your life. It's without hypocrisy. It's toward all men. Are you listening to these things? This is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 love. This is the only love there is. This is the love of Christ. If you're loving with hypocrisy, if you're loving selectively, that's not the love of God. That is not what the love of God does. It loves toward all men. It has compassion. We've said it many times before. If you're having trouble loving, Lord, help me to love. Cause me to see souls. Cause me to see souls. That's what I want to see. If I will see souls by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you something. Christ in me will love that person. When I start seeing other things than what God's work is in a life, it's things that I don't need to be looking at. It's things that I don't want to see. I want to look at with the eyes of God and think of how Christ looks at His children. Does Christ look at you and see the sin? He doesn't even know what He's talking about. I told you many times I've come before Him and He's given me that sweet, sweet peace. Well, Lord, I'm so sorry I did this. And I really can see Him sitting on His knee and He's scratching His head and He says, well, son, I don't even know what you're talking about. But I'm so thankful for that tender heart. Because that's something God can work with. You see what I'm saying? See, that's what God is to us. That's what God wants us in that type of a fellowship with Him. That we can come to Him boldly. And that we can have this kind of love that's full and overflowing towards all our brothers and sisters in Christ. But what He encourages them as well is He says, but listen here, don't get complacent in it. Don't just think, well, we love everybody and we're just running around. He said, grow more and more. And this is from glory to glory that He's encouraging us on here. This is what this Word of God effectually that we're speaking of here effectually worketh in us whom believe. As we come here tonight and we continue to receive this Word of God, we're going to believe more. We're going to grow more. There's another glory for us to grow in. Jesus Himself said many times, I'll give you a few verses here. John chapter 13, 34 and 35. John 15, 12 and 17. What did He say there? I'll give it to you. Love as I do. Love as I do. That's the love that He gave us. The Holy Spirit is taking the things of Christ and making them ours. And I'm telling you, as long as we have breath, brothers and sisters, we've said it many times before, we're still in school. You still in school? Praise God, I hope we're still learning. I hope we're still going on. I hope that we're still receiving of Him. And in that, I'm still expected and called to grow into more glory. I'm expected to grow more into the image of Him. I'm expected to grow more in His wondrous love. And you think about this. What is the greatest testimony that we could ever be as Christians? It's not our testimony in a sense. You think about all these things that we could. It could be faith. It could be knowledge. It could be wondrous things that God is doing in our lives. But the greatest testimony we could ever have is the love of God. How did they know that they were Christians? Because of their love one for another. And brothers and sisters, that's what the will of God is. That's what He called us into Ephesians, into that very depth, that we would grow into every dimension of that love and to know it. To possess it, to live it, and abound in it by the grace of God. All right, let's go on to verse 11. It says, and that ye study. Got to stay with me here. And that ye study to be quiet. And you've been quiet tonight. I pray that you're listening. I pray that there's a honing in on the things of God here tonight. I don't know if there's a trouble that's out there, but at the same time, I know that He's able. So I know that He's prepared this. And I'm confident that's His Spirit, and this is the one He sent for us this evening. But I will tell you something tonight. Be in that wonder spirit. Enter into what God is doing. Allow Him to cause you to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, brothers and sisters. Like I say, I don't want to judge an attitude. I don't want to judge a look. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. You know what? That's for Him. You know what? All we're to give out is the Word of God. Plant it. Water it. And you know who gives the increase? One and only, Jesus Christ. All right? So I know that it's the will of God, and we'll just go with that. All right, but it says, and that ye study to be quiet. Maybe that's what you were reading before you came in. And to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Isn't that something? Wow, your own business and your own hands. My, oh my, this is the third walk, the walk of quietness. And how often, brothers and sisters, this is missed by many a Christian. Because it's so hard for so many, not to be seen, not to be heard, and not to be noticed. Seen, heard, and noticed. You'll never find any of those qualities in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You won't. Absolutely not. Now, if He has given you naturally a spirit that is meek under the hand of God and to be quiet, praise be to God. If He hasn't, you better give it over to Him. Because there's a glory, there's a blessedness in being still and being quiet. And this word study, brothers and sisters, it means ambitious. Ambitious. Make it a goal in your life, because it is an honor and a blessing to be quiet. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, I'll wake the women up here. It says, women, learn in silence. Talk about things that make you go, hmm. But aren't you thankful, ladies? You know what? In Thessalonians, if we're going to take it on the surface, it's toward all mankind. So brothers, study to be quiet. And sisters, study to be quiet. This is a spirit that God wants us to have. He does. The Spirit will make intercession for us. He will cause us and show us what to say and when to say things. But this Spirit is so essential into going on to God's best. And you think God knows His product. And there is a reason that He says it all to everyone here in Thessalonians, and specifically to the women in 1 Timothy. But I want the ladies here to take this as the highest compliment, because He really is speaking here of the bride of Christ. Do you know that? And He uses you as such a wondrous example. Praise God. The wondrous woman, the godly woman, the virtuous woman here, to be still, to be meek, to be quiet, to let the Lord speak in our life. And again, to study this out. It's so important. It's imperative. And if this is a problem that you're having in your life, that you can't be still, that you are unrestless, that you continually have to be heard or to speak, get on your knees and ask God. He wants this to be changed in your life. And you know why? Because He wants to be the one that's giving you the instruction. He wants to be the one that is giving you this wonderful word to make you at peace. When you keep speaking and you keep talking, you're not at peace. And what will happen is you'll spin yourself into more commotion and more restlessness until you finally hear the words, be still and know that I am God. And we all need this, because at times we're all despairing of our life, like Brother Paul said, didn't he? But then he had to look to the Word and say, Lord, allow it to work effectually in my life, so I can be still and know that You're God. And then the peace just floods the soul. And it's a wonderful place to be, because that's what God is doing. All right. But then it goes on, brothers and sisters. It gets even more exciting. And there's even more toes to step on at this moment. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. I'm calling out to you, please. Now, we look upon the need of our brother and sister in Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. But if your head is turning into that of a camel, get it out of the tent. Amen? Oh, I hope so. Wonderful instruction here. Before, as the Word of God says, we go removing the mote in our brother's eye, please take care of the beam that's in your own first. Mentioned it a little earlier. One thing that makes me sad. And I've done it before. Absolutely have done it before. But I've had it done to me quite a few times and from different people. People telling me the way that I feel. You don't know how I feel. You don't. Don't. As I'll give you a little proverbial there. Don't judge the book by its cover. God knows. And I am certain that it's between the Lord and me. All right? Now, I want you to pray for me. By the grace of God, I want you to pray for me. And I want to pray for you. But what happens when we start to think that we're, you know, clairvoyant, or I've got the word of something for you today, or I've become something and stepping out of that God nowhere remotely wants me around. And I'm glad that you understand what I'm talking about. mind your own business. And I say that in love. I really do. But that can go so many different wicked ways very quickly. And we know this, brothers and sisters. I was thinking how the Lord has told us to love one another. He did not tell you to live my life. One trait of a busybody is that sometimes what they're trying to run in another's life, they usually have completely failed in their own. You know that? Well, I've got the experience, and I don't want you to fail. My goodness. And I've had people tell me that before too. God help us all. I really do hope that we are growing in wisdom and in knowledge and that we're maturing and that we would want to be a salve. And see, only God can help us to be that, brothers and sisters. And I'll finally just say this about busybodies. A lot of times a busybody can turn into a discord sower. Be aware. Be greatly aware of the enemy. We're not ignorant of his devices. We think that we can play with that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, you will get burned by it. Don't go back to it. Don't start it up. Reckon it dead. God has the victory in that. All right? Let's go with number 12 and we'll close it up. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And this is the final call of our walk, brothers and sisters. Walk honestly. How about some virtue in your life, huh? Valor, integrity. In a lot of ways, it's all but vanished in many a Christian lives. And again, I say this is not a legal statement at all. God wants us to live what He's made us, righteous and holy. He does. By the grace of God, I want to have a testimony. I want Him to work effectually in my life. I want Him to will and to do of His good pleasure in my life. But brothers and sisters, I have to be willing. We can just accept failure. We can accept to fail. We can make it an excuse. All of these different things. But I believe that, you know, you're here at a Bible study tonight. You already have a tender heart. God has called you. And you know what? You responded. He drew you here and you allowed Him to take you here. All right? There's potential written all over that. Isn't that precious? There's nothing hard for God. Everything's hard for you, but nothing's hard for God. And He can take these things. And as we start to get that prick of conviction upon our heart, respond to it, brothers and sisters. Don't let that sin just come in like a flood when we are tempted and we know that the tempting's going to be fiery. You know why? Because we're under the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It has to be that way. You have to be tried in the most weak part of your whole existence. God is going to allow that to be tried. Whom has been given much, much is required. And brothers and sisters, He's all in. He is. Gave that Son. And let me tell you something. We have to be all in as well too. All on the altar laid there. All His work. But you think about it. The most difficult thing that we have, the difficult thing that we have in our lives truly as humans is just giving it to Him. Is to say, Lord, I surrender to You. This is Your life. I'm bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I'm not my own. And God, I'm surrendering it to You. Now, brothers and sisters, this wonderful walk of honesty, I believe, is the evidence of believing and yielding to God. You provide things honest in the sight of all men as we yield to God. Now, I'm not saying that we would be perfect in a sense of everything. We never sin. We know that. But I'm sinless in the sight of God. And as I yield to Him, I know that He can give me the power to be relieved. And it is a relief when He takes that sin that so easily besets us, our lack of faith in these different areas in our life. Isn't it a relief when He delivers you? Aren't you grateful to God? And you say, thank You, Jesus, that I'm not controlled by that sin anymore. That's just spending time with Him on your knees and saying, Lord, I believe You. And let me tell you something. You might have to be on those knees every single day the rest of your life, because it might be just the thorn that He leaves there that you're going to have to just seek Him for every single day of your life. All right? Now, that's a wonderful thing. People think, oh, well, why would He leave that in there? Well, Paul knew that he said, well, you would be magnified too much. Another benefit of that is you're going to be dependent upon Him. If you want His best and you know that thorn that He has left in your flesh, let me tell you something. You're going to be on your knees continually. He'll make you continually in prayer. He'll cause you to be continually meditating upon Him, saying, Lord, I need more of Your grace. I need more of Your strength. It's starting to come over me again, but let's nip it in the bud. I want to be an overcomer. That's the spirit I want, brothers and sisters, is to say, Lord, allow that spirit to give me the victory. In closing, I'll say this. Don't give sinners the liberty to mock our God because of our actions. But instead, how about giving them a reason to take note and maybe inquire of your life what causes you to live so upright in a sinful world? Praise the Lord. And don't let the sin that so easily besets us, our lack of faith, come in and say, oh, somebody noticed that. I got a big head now. See, the enemy just walked right in that door, didn't he? But see, God can even protect me from that. All glory be to Him. Brother, it's so wonderful what's going on. It's so wonderful about your life. How God's saying, praise be to God. It's Him. He's the majesty. Hallelujah. He's the one. He gets all the glory. And brothers and sisters, it's in that virtuous, loving, minding our own affairs in integrity walk that we end up here in the 12th verse, that we have lack of nothing. See, faith in action, brothers and sisters, makes us content. It makes us thankful in all things. And the result of that, I'm grateful to say this, that we can be a group of praising sons instead of a bunch of murmuring children. Amen to that? Amen to that. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You for this time of fellowship. We just ask that You would work this effectually in our lives. This is Your truth. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would be tendered to receive these things. Obviously, these things, some of them are not easy to receive. We're in flesh. We have this flesh that we live in. But God, we know that You have given us Your Spirit. And in that, we know that all things are possible in Christ Jesus. We know that You love us, Lord. You know, we know that You have given us every provision in that victory upon that cross. Help us to be a people of great faith. Help us not to go from this place without seizing the victory that You have for each and every life here this evening. Help us to recognize our need of You. In Jesus' name, amen.